Hello everyone and welcome to the podcast. This is Father Narek from St. Sarkis Church in Douglaston, New York with my weekly podcast. I hope everyone is having a beautiful week filled with divine blessings. Today I have a very exciting program for you. I will talk about vocations and I will be interviewing two deacons who actually are becoming priests over this weekend. We will have our weekly Bible reflection and we will play a hymn that is related to our priesthood. But first, let us start our program as well as our day with a prayer taken from the Sacrament of the Eucharist in the Armenian Church. O Lord, our God, your power is inscrutable and your glory is beyond our comprehension. Your mercy is immeasurable and your compassion is inexhaustible. In your abundant love for us humans, look down upon your people and give your abundant mercy and your compassion to us and to those who pray with us. And to you befits glory, dominion, and honor, now and always and forever and ever. Amen. Today we pray especially for those who are suffering with terminal illness. We pray for those who are in the hospital who are undergoing invasive surgeries. May God be with them and may God ease their pain. We often refer to priesthood as a calling because becoming a priest is not primarily our own decision, but rather it's a response to a call from God. Vocation or divine calling is a recurring theme in the scriptures, both in Old and New Testaments. We read about the example of God calling Moses. We read about God calling young Samuel. And in the New Testament, we read about Jesus calling Simon and Andrew and John and James and Levi. These are fine illustrations that God can call his people at any stage of their lives, so long as we have our spiritual ears open and receptive to communicate with God. Today, I speak about vocations because actually this Saturday, October 4th, His Eminence Archbishop Oshagan Choloyan will ordain deacons Harold Nazarian and Dirander Khosrovyan to the holy priesthood. It is very exciting to know that two fine gentlemen who have been trained, who have been educated, will become priests, and soon they will be serving as parish priests in the Armenian prelacy. I had the opportunity to interview Deacons Diron and Harold over Skype a few days ago, and I would like to share that interview with our listeners.
I feel so close to you right now, it's a force field. I wear my heart up on my sleeve like a big deal. Your love pours down on me, surround me like a waterfall. And there's no stopping us right now. I feel so close to you right now.
It has been announced that His Eminence Archbishop Oshagan Choloyan, our prelate, will ordain Deacons Harold Nazarian and Dirander Khosrovyan to the holy priesthood on October 4, 2014. Today, we have the opportunity to talk with soon-to-be priests, Deacons Harold and Diran. Deacon brothers, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for inviting us to do this today.
Absolutely. I thank you for taking this
for taking the opportunity to speak with me, because you're a few days away from your ordination, and I can imagine that you have a lot going on, and you decided to set some time for me to answer a few questions so that our listeners will get the opportunity to know you a little better. So, Harold and Deacon, introduce yourselves to our listeners.
I will start, Dad. Hi, this is Deacon Harold Nazarian. I was born in Providence, Rhode Island, to loving parents, Charles and Gloria Nazarian, and I'm the oldest of three children. My family's actually been in the United States for quite some time. On my mother's side of the family, my great-grandmother was born about 1892 in Tadem Hapert and survived the early massacres of 1895, and by the grace of God made it to the shores of the United States in about 1905. On my father's side of the family, my grandmother emigrated from Bapert or Papert, Erzurum. In a more traditional way, she had survived the massacres of 1915 as a very young child, and then with her mother and grandmother, made it to Marseille, France, where they lived for several years, and then came to the United States in 1929. I was blessed to grow up until a young teenager with both of these women, who were just absolutely wonderful influences on my life, and I am so thankful to have had them in my life. My parents, I thank God, took me to church at a very young age, the youngest age possible to start enrolling in Sunday school at 4 years old. And Sunday school from the first day was just a wonderful experience for me. And as I got older, I was involved a lot with the AYF juniors, very active there. And then as an adult, came to serve on the board of trustees and many different committees in the church, chairing property acquisition committees, fundraising committees, and also being involved very much with the men's club of our church. The greatest joy that I found, however, was my involvement in the spiritual activities of the church. When Dear Gomidas came to us about 14 years ago, he started what has become a very vibrant and enduring Bible study class. The participation in that Bible study class is something that's very difficult to put into words. It's become like its own spiritual family. And by the grace of God, he's had probably 40 and 50 people every year, at least, if not more, participating in the Bible study. From that, Dad had also asked me to begin teaching Sunday school, and I spent about 7 years teaching Sunday school, seventh grade. And again, a wonderful experience being with the youth of the church and developing new techniques to be able to relate our faith to that age group and answer the questions that they have. And then just 3 years ago, I began serving on the altar of our church during Great Lent of 2011. And then last year, in May of 2013, I was ordained as an acolyte and subdeacon by His Eminence Archbishop Oshagan Choloyan. And just about 2 months ago, at the end of July, I was ordained as a deacon by His Grace Bishop Anushavan Tanelian. So my life has been a part of the church since my youth, but it's transitioned in many different ways. And I thank God for his patience in bringing me to the point that he has today.
I like the transition. You started as being part of the administrative part of the church, and then you find your way to the Bible study group, and then eventually to the altar. How about you, Deacon Deran? What was your experience like?
Well, my name is Deacon Deran Der Khosrofian. I was born in Aleppo, Syria, in 1965, and unfortunately I lost my parents at a very young age, and my aunt on my father's side adopted my brother and I and brought us over to the United States, and we settled in Whitensville in 1975, and I've been in that community ever since then. I started serving on the altar at about age 10, right when I came, and since I spoke Armenian, they decided to keep me on the altar, so I've never had the privilege of attending Sunday school or be a student of Sunday school. So since age 10, I've been on the altar serving. And then about 15 years ago, when Dead Aram came to Whitensville, I had the chance to speak with him, and I expressed my calling to him. And he put me through his interview process, to see if it was an actual calling, what I was experiencing, or just someone who wanted to become a Dead High. And after he approved, we approached Oshagan Sirfazan, and the arrangements were made that I was ordained a deacon in 2004, and I've been on the altar ever since, serving. And eventually, Harold and I met, I think it was about 3 years ago. We started our classes in Watertown, and we have completed our last class this past week, and God willing, this coming weekend, we will be ordained.
Very good. Deacon Dieron, you spoke about experiencing vocation and then having this interview with Der Aram, who made sure that this was a real vocation and not some emotional phase that you were going through. Why don't you tell us a bit more about your vocation? When did you feel that God was calling you? How did you feel your vocation was growing and maturing? Tell us a bit about your journey of faith.
Actually, it started when I was very young, and you might say it was a bit comical early on, because when I was 6, 7, 8 years old, I used to put on my grandmother's overcoat, and I'd put a hood over my head like a harsup and walk around the house singing Dervo Ormia. So that was in me at a very young age. And then when I was about 15 years old, a friend of mine in high school spent a lot of time with me. We started studying the Bible together, and he and his father took me out for ice cream one night. And that night, I'll never forget, it was a Wednesday evening, he prayed and I accepted Christ. And I just started growing closer and closer. And while I was in the military, I was injured. And again, a person out of nowhere, he was a Marine soldier, came to me and asked if I believed in God. And I said I was. He told me, read the Bible. He encouraged me to read the Bible and to continuously pray. I had injured my leg. And I did that for about 9 days. I was reading the Bible, the New Testament, day and night in prayer. And I had gone back to the doctor telling them, I think I can walk. And they told me I was out of my mind. So, but they took the cast off and I started walking. They stood there in amazement. They couldn't believe it. And I was all smiles because I could walk again in 9 days after the accident. So shortly after that, something inside of me was, I don't know how to describe it, Derhide, but something inside of me was pulling me. It was pulling me towards God. I'd try to go the other way. I'd try to walk away. And then it would bring me right back to God, to reading the Bible, to wanting to go to church, to be in church. And it came to a point where I turned away completely and I said, no, this isn't for me. Find someone else. And things started to happen in my life that it was obvious to me, but I was in denial. And once I turned and I said, okay, you're in control, you're in charge. This is what you want, I'm yours. And things just turned around and everything was going smoothly. I knew at that point that I had done the right thing. And so ever since then, I've been walking closer and closer with the Lord. And he's brought me this far. And I know that he's going to take care of everything else the rest of the way.
Blessed is the Lord. How about you, Deacon Harold? Tell us about your journey of faith.
There's some similarities with, I was smiling as Deacon Dieron was speaking about his childhood, because I used to also dress up and play. I didn't have such high aspirations. I didn't play high suit, but I played dead hide. And I have two cousins who kindly and finally remind me of this experience, that we would always play church when we were together, as opposed to what all the other kids were doing. And as I got older, my calling, I think, is really a wonderful example of God's patience with us and his constant work in our lives. I would feel what I would describe not so much as a distinct calling, as a tap on the shoulder to come closer to him, to get involved more in the ministry of the church. And there would always be these wonderful rational reasons to say that, well, this really is impossible. This can't truly be a calling, because it just can't happen for all of these different reasons. And I think what the Lord was doing was really shaping my life and keeping me with my eyes on him always, growing closer and closer and waiting, until finally it came to the point where there was a very distinct moment of calling in which I was brought face to face with a decision of saying yes or no to the Lord. And there was no doubting the fact that I was at that crossroad where it was either a yes or a no. And so at that point, it was very interesting how the Lord placed everything just right to confirm it, as I was going through this, something happened in our Bible study class that made it very apparent that it was a calling from the Lord. And I then sat and spoke with Virgomidas and explained to him what I had been experiencing. And he also said, you definitely have a calling that you need to pursue. And from that point forward, I started getting more intense in my studies and building my faith, but faith from the perspective of a depth of understanding that I would need to have going forward.
How did your family members, and specifically your spouse, react when she heard about your vocation and your decision to serve God as a married priest in the Armenian church?
For me, it was a very eye-opening as to how God sets everything in place once we bring ourselves in line with his plan. As you might imagine, for someone who had been married for many years, and at the time of getting married, my wife had no idea that our life might come to serving the Lord in this way, I had a reasonable amount of apprehension and anxiety about how I would tell her this. And I remember the night that I was going to speak with her that day, because it all happened fairly quickly, I was praying, Lord, please soften her heart to understand this and grant me the words to say when we sit to speak. And what happened was utterly amazing. When we sat to talk that night, before I had a chance to say a single word, she looked at me and she said, you've had a calling to be a deadhead in the church, and you're going to pursue it.
Wow.
And I was absolutely speechless. And I gave her the opportunity. I said, yes, I have had the calling. I have spoken with Virgomidas about this, but you need to understand what's involved, and you have to be in total agreement. Otherwise, I will not go forward. And she looked back at me and said, you know, God has blessed me so much with our family and having you and our son. How could I ever deny God if he's calling you to do this? And from that point forward, in all these years of preparation, not once has she done anything other than to encourage and lift me in those valley days when things do get difficult and you're faced with so many challenges. So it's something I could have absolutely never anticipated how it would have gone.
God works in mysterious ways. How about you, Deacon Diran?
Before I proposed to my wife, Susanna, I had told her of my vocation and desire to serve our church in the capacity of a deadhead. And her response was twofold. It was music to my ears in that she said, and I will become your Yeretzkin. So I knew she was going to accept my proposal for marriage as well. So she accepted both ways. And my family has been very supportive and they've been understanding. It's been a little tough on my children. They're young. So when they want to play with Baba, it's difficult. I have to explain to them I have studies to do to take care of. But overall, they've been very supportive.
So God bless your family members. Tell me, who has been a good source of inspiration? Because as priests in the Armenian church, part of what we do is to inspire people. And we ourselves also need inspiration. So tell me about your inspirations.
There's absolutely no question for me that Virgomidas is incredible inspiration for me. He is such a model servant of God that every minute of every day, his sole goal is to be within God's perfect will for what he needs to be doing. And he's such a kind, gentle, loving person. He's a beautiful representation of how Christ wants us to live our lives. So having someone like that, that came at a pivotal point in my life, I know was absolutely no coincidence, and that he has been an absolutely wonderful, inspirational mentor that is there to help me every turn that I take, to provide guidance and wisdom and to provide an encouragement that he uniquely can do given his personality. So Virgomidas, I cannot thank enough for what he's done.
How about you, Deacon Diran?
Dead Aram, actually, when I spoke earlier of my aunt, the first time I met Dead Aram was at the nursing home when my aunt passed away and he had come to give her last rites. and he embraced me. And from that moment on, we've had a relationship that I've never experienced before. He's been like a father to me. So he has inspired me. He has encouraged me. And every step of the way, he has let me express myself. And then he would give his blessing, his comments, his criticism, so that I walk in the right direction. And he is a man of God that it's hard to find in some people. And he's a great preacher and a great inspiration. And I will forever be indebted to him.
May God bless all our clergy, and especially in this case, Der Aram and Der Gomidas. But when we speak about inspiration, it's not only good enough to have people around us who inspire us, but it's always good to look back to the tradition of our church, the Armenian Orthodox Church, and look to find inspiration in our church fathers, in our saints. So who is your favorite saint and why?
My favorite saint would be Saint Gregory, the Illuminator, because he was a man of strong faith. And after enduring the many tortures that he did, and he was imprisoned in the pit for years, he never lost his faith. He didn't doubt his God. And when he came out even stronger.
The one thing that I always say about Saint Gregory the Illuminator is that for a person to be in a dark place for such a long time and to come out from that darkness and to spread the light to an entire nation, that is a miracle. How about you, Deacon Harold?
For me, the saint that really touches my heart is Saint Nerses. And actually, I know we've had many Saint Nerses become saints in our church, and there's two of them that their combined work is very inspirational. The first being Saint Nerses the Great of the 4th century, and it was beautiful how he brought the church to the very common person in caring for their needs. It became a very practical daily work of showing the love of Christ through caring for the impoverished Armenians in particular, through the establishment of hospitals, orphanages, houses for the poor, schools to educate the children. To this day, we look back at the work that he did and we try to emulate it. And I think it's so inspirational for us to see with the challenges of that day how much he was able to accomplish.
I would say that Saint Nerses the Great is the father of social work in the Armenian church. Do you agree with me?
Absolutely. And he really brought it systematically into the church. He didn't do it single-handedly. He had called a council of bishops in 365, and he really wanted this to become something that all the church was involved in and was behind. The second one is, jumping forward to the 12th century, is St. Nerses the Gracious, St. Nerses the Fourth, and I think what's very inspirational is the ecumenical work that St. Nerses did to explain, to bring the Armenian Church and the Armenian Church theology and traditions and explain it in such a beautiful, clear way. He was a phenomenal theological mind, and seeking Christian unity, which we could argue that in the 12th century, the work done by St. Nerses is the closest we've come to unity of bringing all the Orthodox churches back together. Unfortunately, because some of the people involved went to be with the Lord early, it came to an end. But the model that he set is something that we still look at in talks in the 20th century. And I think with what's going on right now, especially in the world, and in particular the Middle East, I think we're seeing a renewed vision of how important it is for us as Christians to be able to speak with one voice. We all have our individual traditions, and we have wonderful churches, but to be able to speak with one voice as Christians is something that's very critical for us today, I think.
Absolutely. Let's change gears and speak about something that will happen this Saturday, October 4th. It is the tradition of the Armenian Church that during the Sacrament of the Holy Orders, the candidates will receive new names, and the Archbishop will give new names to our deacons. On Saturday, deacons Harold and Diran will receive new names. They will become there. We don't know yet, but their names will be changed. So how do you feel about that?
I'm actually excited because it's a symbol of change, a symbol of renewal, and I welcome it.
I have to agree with Dina. I think it's a beautiful tradition, and it's a wonderful outward expression of the internal change that should accompany ordination, that we have a new life that we're beginning. And it's a wonderful way to have this new name for the new life to begin with. So we're looking forward to it, and a little bit curious as to what our new names will be, but we will find out soon enough.
I like the fact that you're describing this experience as a new life, because indeed, on the altar, when we receive the ordination, we are called to become new people. And with that, I would like to ask you what your advice would be to anyone who is contemplating about priesthood, to anyone who's feeling the vocation but is not sure enough. What is your advice?
I would say for the person, the individual, to examine themselves very carefully and make sure what he thinks is a vocation is just that, a vocation and not a feeling. We all have moments of a feel-good experience, but that's all it ends up being, is just a moment. I would say to be in prayer for a long time and listen for an answer from God, because he will definitely answer.
I have to agree with Deacon Dita. I think he summarized it very well. And the only thing I would add to it is that it's wonderful to have someone that the person feels comfortable with, whether it's, you know, their deadhead, their bishop, when they get to a point where they've examined themselves, to sit and speak with them, because they have the ability to help you, to help the person discern these things. And there will be challenges with it, inevitably. But I think what we've come to realize is there's no greater satisfaction in life to know that we're following God's will for us.
And I believe that there is a great deal of satisfaction that a person can receive by serving the Lord, by serving people in the tradition of the Armenian Church. And today I would like to extend an invitation to anyone who is feeling that vocation to sit down, to examine themselves, and to speak to their pastors, and to find encouragement to take bold steps towards serving God. So before I let you go, deacons, I would like to pray that on this Saturday you may receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit, just like God gave the Holy Spirit to the disciples, and the Holy Spirit empowered them to change the world. You also may receive that gift to change the flock that will be entrusted to your care. I would kindly ask you that on this Saturday, as you receive the sacrament of the Holy Ordination, you may pray for me and pray for all those who are in need of prayers. Thank you very much for your time, and may God bless you.
Today's Gospel reading is from St. John chapter 16, verses 1 through 4. Our Lord Jesus Christ says, "I have said these things to you to keep you from stumbling. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, an hour is coming when those who kill you will think that by doing so they are offering worship to God. And they will do this because they have not known the Father or me. But I have said these things to you so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you about them." In this reading, we hear our Lord Jesus predicting that persecutions will happen. And that has been the case for every Christian throughout the centuries. Today, for us, these words are a sad reality because we are witnessing persecutions. For us who live in the United States, persecutions do take place in the form of ridicule. Believers are mocked for what they stand for. people do not want to hear the things that challenge them morally. And for that, Christianity is persecuted. But for the Christians who live in the Middle East, persecutions have a different form. Because even as we speak, Christians are being tortured and killed because of their faith. But when we reflect on the words of Jesus, we see that those who persecute are the ones who have not known the Father, are the ones who have not experienced the love of Jesus Christ in their hearts. Today, as we read these words, we take courage because we can identify ourselves with all true believers throughout the centuries and with our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for divine strength so that we may endure and keep the faith in the face of all kinds of persecutions. We pray specifically for our Christian brothers and sisters in the Middle East. We pray that God will deliver them and God will bless everyone. The Armenian Church celebrates the feast of the 72 disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ this Saturday. Today, I will be playing a hymn named Ashagerda Christosi, the Disciples of Christ, a hymn dedicated to not only the 12 or the 72 disciples of our Lord, but to everyone throughout the centuries who have considered themselves to be true followers of our Lord. You will hear the hymn performed by Archbishop Zare Aznavourian of blessed memory. The hymn was recorded in early 1980s in Antelias, Lebanon, and recently it was released in a CD format. I would like to dedicate this hymn to Deacons Harold and Diran, who will be ordained as priests in the Armenian Church this Saturday, wishing them that they will become true disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you will enjoy this hymn, and I will be back next Thursday with another episode of the podcast. May God bless you.
Zortinas tu zo haidna ber.